Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I think a lot about the late Ambassador Rooney, man, and how fired up he would be about this trip and how important the development of this trip was for him. And so I've been thinking a lot about it. I'm sure I'll be thinking a lot about it this week. And I certainly will be thinking a lot about him when we're there. Man, you talk about a guy that certainly had a lot of passion for Ireland and obviously the Steelers and, you know, serving as ambassador to Ireland. I'm sure he's going to be smiling down at us this weekend.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Your weather report for Dublin, Sunday, 2:30 local kickoff there. High 50s, maybe a little bit of rain. Fan weather brought to you by the Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Mike Tomlin on the meaning of this game, what it meant to the late Dan Rooney, what it means to Art, giving the team a big pep talk before they went over there, a game they've wanted to play for years and a game they've wanted to win for years. So we'll see how it happens, how it plays out. Minnesota's coming in. They, just like the Steelers, produced a 5-takeaway game against the Bengals. Difference is the Steelers had to urinate blood to win their game against the Patriots. The Vikings scored more points in the first half against the Bengals than they ever have. I think they actually handed the Bengals their worst loss in franchise history by point differential. 38 points had never happened before to Cincinnati, and they've had some bad teams. Remember those Bruce Coslett teams, Chris?
I do remember the Bruce Coslett
teams. Those Jeff Blake teams that you used to always talk about.
I was a big fan. I was scared of the Jeff Blake teams.
Carl Pickens teams.
Darnay Scott, things of that nature.
Kajana Carter.
Wait, Corey Dillon.
Clock killing.
I was
Corey
just going to say, what was the Berman thing? Clock killing Corey Dillon.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're so lucky right now to get a live Baldy's breakdown from the ultimate football knower. No one works harder, no one knows more ball than NFL analyst Brian Baldinger, who joins us right now. Brian, do those early mid 90s Bengals teams bring back memories for you? No.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play in Indianapolis then, late 80s, early 90s. We always played Cincinnati for whatever reason. We played them there. So from Indianapolis to Cincinnati, it's literally a 90-minute bus drive. So we would bus in there. So I remember playing there a bunch. They always had good personnel. They didn't have great teams, but they had some good players throughout their history. They would sprinkle in. You know, I mean, you think about Icky Woods and some of the guys that, you know, came through there. You know, Anthony Munoz is the best football player I ever saw.
Wow.
And ever studied. So, I mean, you know, they've had their share of, you know, great players over the years.
That is a perfect segue, Munoz. into the Steelers' offensive line. Because, Baldy, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but Big Ben on his podcast came out and absolutely excoriated, killed Broderick Jones. Said technique stinks. If James Harrison played against this guy, he'd have 15 sacks in a game. What is Pat Meyer teaching this guy? You know, I'd be on my ass the entire game or running for my life the entire game if I had to play behind this guy. Something's got to give. You crunch all the tape. What have you seen from Broderick Jones in three games?
Well, I mean, you know, he's moving to the left tackle spot. And, you know, he was drafted, you know, at age 20 to be the future. And, you know, he hasn't been that for sure. He's been very inconsistent. Has given up. You know, Aaron Rodgers is getting hit way too often and he's getting hit too hard. And so he's getting turned too early right now. He's got to stay square. I was thinking, you know, 3 years into this thing, he'd be stronger physically. You know, at age 20, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be near your core strength of what you're going to be.
And he lost a lot of weight, Baldy, and said, I lost all this weight because I'm going to gain it back midseason.
No. He's too, he doesn't, that's never going to make you stronger by losing weight at that age. And so he's getting turned too quickly. And so guys are, you know, being able to, you know, they're being able to walk him back into the quarterback's lap, into Aaron Rodgers' lap. And Aaron's a guy right now at his stage of his career. Like you can't, he can't hear footsteps coming at him. He's going to move. He's going to, you know, he's not going to stay there and he doesn't want to move. He wants to be able to be protected right now at this stage of his career. So it's been a problem, but Fatano hasn't been very good either. They haven't been good in the run game. You know,
what's the main reason, Baldy,
very good so far.
From an offensive line standpoint specifically, why, when you cut the tape, haven't they been able to block it up correctly in the run game?
I don't think they found a run that they really are good at yet. You know, typically, like if you watched what the Lions did to the Ravens the other night, like how they ran their inside zone, they ran the play right and left, left and right, back and forth all night. And, you know, they got their big runs out of it. They just stayed with it. But they found the run that they were really good at in that game. I don't really feel like they know if there are – I don't see a lot of power. Typically, I think Isaac Seumalo is a guy that you can pull with power. I haven't seen a lot of that to this point. Or counter Trey where you'd pull Darnell Washington on the backside. I don't know that they found two runs that they really feel good about. I know Jaylen Warren is a good runner. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he hasn't – you know, his longest run, I think, so far is like 10 or 11 yards. He hasn't broken one. And usually if you give him a good runway, he's going to do his part, you know, to turn that, you know, 10-yard run into a 20 or 25-yard run. They haven't done any of that yet.
Mark, I mean, Baldy, how are they going to block the Vikings then? You've got Hargrave there. You've got Jonathan Allen there. You got guys coming off the bench who give them an advantage there. They've been very good up front. Steelers can't run the ball. They're having problems protecting Rodgers. They're getting the ball off in 2 seconds. Brian Flores is this defensive genius. That's all we've heard about this week. How the heck did the Steelers move the ball on Minnesota on Sunday?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Is Minnesota, last year, they throw you as much junk as anybody in this whole business. That's what Flores does. But they were number two in the NFL last year against the run, even though they tied the Steelers for the lead with 33 takeaways, and they were excellent in pass defense. The thing that's different about Minnesota versus anybody they've played so far is they are not a static defense. They have a lot of interchangeable parts. They're moving at the snap quite a bit. They play a variety of fronts. And so you could talk about Hargrave and Jonathan Allen and some of those guys up front, but, you know, Greenard and Van Winkle and Dallas Turner and, like, these guys are hitting gaps. They're run blitzing. You know, they're stunting. They're moving. So your steps and how you block zone is critical. Otherwise, you're going to get penetration. If you get penetration, the back's got to stop his feet. They got to change direction. It can be really harrowing. And so, really, their fundamentals as a group is going to be paramount this Sunday.
Baldy, how tough is it if you're in a quarterback's shoes, and honestly, if you're an offensive lineman's shoes who's trying to help by calling protections, with what Minnesota does pre-snap on defense and all, you called it junk, I've heard that, disguises, just all the stuff that they like to do moving guys around, how tough is it for a quarterback to see through that and actually know what they're really going up against on any given play?
Well, Aaron had problems with it last year.
Yep, three picks.
Minnesota.
Exactly.
Yep. And, you know, he had chances to win the game at the end and, you know, just couldn't make the throw to Garrett Wilson. I remember that like it was yesterday. But yep. he had problems. He had problems with, you know, defensive linemen dropping out, you know, Van Ginkle into passing lane. I mean, he had problems with those guys a year ago. I'm sure he studied the film. I'm sure he feels a little bit more comfortable after seeing it and what they do. Because even with the interception by Isaiah Rodgers, you know, for their second touchdown of the game, I mean, they gave you a shell, and then they didn't get to their coverage until after the snap. And then they rotated to a two deep man under. And so they're throwing a lot of coverages at you from a lot of disguised looks. And so you're not going to be able to really decipher what they're doing, where to go with the ball until after the snap. So you can't allow quick pressure on your quarterback. It's even for a guy like Aaron, who's seen everything, that's tough on a quarterback to be able to make an instant read when you might get color flashing right at you.
Baldy, we always hear about like the McVay offense or Kyle Shanahan. Some of the, you know, even O'Connell gets this a lot. The coordinators that are really highly thought of on the offensive side of the ball, they find ways pre-snap to give their quarterback help, whether it's with motion or anything else pre-snap, and they find ways to give the quarterback answers. How much and what can Arthur Smith do pre-snap to help Aaron Rodgers in that setting in this game?
Well, I mean, Aaron knows what to do. I mean, you're going to try to hold the snap as long as you can, let those guys declare. I mean, if they're going to blitz from any depth, they're going to start cheating. He's going to try to get as much of a pre-snap look as he can. And so holding the snap count, you know, probably is one way. You know, and then, you know, Aaron, if you're Isaiah Rodgers or if you're Byron Murphy Jr. and you're 10 yards off of DK for whatever reason, you're going to get a smoke route out there. He's going to see it, and he's going to signal. He's going to get the ball to Calvin or DK or somebody out there if they're off to. So he can make them pay, too. If they want to, you know, be soft in coverage to start with, they might rotate up. But he'll make them pay with a smoke route. I mean, he sees that as better than anybody's ever played the game. So he can mix up his snap counts and, you know, quick count as well, where they're not really ready to start moving yet. So I think changing up the count and then holding the count, those are two different ways you can kind of maybe get them off balance a little bit.
Baldy, you'd think here in Pittsburgh, given what we've spent on defense and coming off a 5-takeaway game, that the hoi polloi, the masses, would be very excited about playing Carson Wentz this week. But I don't get that vibe at all. Mike Tomlin made it sound like at his press conference on Tuesday, Baldy, like he'd rather face J.J. McCarthy than Carson Wentz right now. How should Steelers fans feel about the defense against the Vikings offense in this game with Jordan Addison coming back for Minnesota?
Well, I mean, there's no comparison, honestly, between J.J. McCarthy and Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz is a cyborg. He's 240 pounds. When he was just running quarterback sneaks in Philadelphia before the tush push, he was 32 or 36. I mean, if you don't tackle that guy's legs, he's not going down. And now, look, I mean, fundamentally, he can fall off his back foot and he can sail footballs and bounce them into the turf. But he took the Vikings against Cincinnati in the opening drive right down the field and he scored.
Yep.
You know, he hit Justin Jefferson on a big play. Like, that guy's arm is as good as any arm in the league. Now, he throws a lot of fastballs. He doesn't layer balls, you know, the way you'd like your quarterback to do it. But he plays a fearless brand of football. And I think they're going to have – I mean, if he plays well against Pittsburgh, they might have a tough decision to make going back to J.J. McCarthy. But Carson is – like, he wasn't in anybody's camp. Nobody called him. He was at home with his kids. You know, he got a call, and they traded Sam Howell. And Kevin O'Connell knew what he wanted. You know, he was out there with Sean McVay for a year. He was – you know, he was with Andy Reid for a year. Like, he's seen what – good offenses do, how they game plan, how they coach a quarterback, how they program. He's had that. And so now he's getting it with Kevin O'Connell. And so I think this has been good for Carson. You know, we'll see. Getting Jordan Addison back is going to give him another option. He's got a big tight end in the middle of the field. Jordan Mason is as good a second running back as there is in football right now. So I think Minnesota is in better condition, in better shape to attack Pittsburgh right now than they would if J.J. McCarthy was looking at his second or third start.
Baldy, this is sort of like a question that goes with the other question I'm going to ask, but what can the Steelers, or maybe I'll ask it this way. Why do you think Wentz has not been a consistent starter, you know, for one team throughout his career and has bounced around so much, and maybe connected to that, what can the Steelers do to try to get him in trouble? What's the antidote to that player playing under a really good offensive mind like O'Connell?
Well, he needs to be coached hard, really hard, because he gets into really bad habits. I mean, even just throwing a simple three-count screen, he'll fall off his back foot and throw it behind the receiver, the running back or receiver, and, the play will go for nothing. And it'll look like a completion, but it was a bad throw. So his fundamentals, if he's not coached hard, he falls apart. And that's what he needs. And he knows it. He just doesn't really take it all that well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Minnesota's working with him, but that's been his downfall everywhere he's gone, is the fundamentals fall apart. The guys just don't spend the time necessary to coach him hard. And I've had that told to me by other coaches in Philadelphia, going back to his rookie year in 2016. If you want to be great, this is what you got to do.
Baldy, it sounds like you like the Vikings in this game. Is that right?
Yeah. I like what Pittsburgh's defense is capable of doing. We got to, what they did last week. You know, Herbig, that play by Herbig at the end, man, to get them the go-ahead touchdown, that was huge. It was good to see TJ come alive and Cam come alive. Like, those guys have been slow starters this year.
Yep.
But I like the depth of Jack Sawyer. I like some, I like Peyton Wilson. Like, I want to see him go be a nasty, nasty defense and take it to this Minnesota offense. Like, I think they've got to set the tone. I don't care where they play the game, Dublin, doesn't matter. Play in the parking lot. They've got to set the tone on that defense. That's where the money is. That's where the experience is. Like, they've got to go set the tone in this game. And so, Justin Jefferson is a great player, and Carson Wentz had a nice game, but all these quarterbacks look awful when they're thrown from their back. Put Carson Wentz on his back a couple times and see what he does.
Baldy, we have a producer here who's from the Philadelphia area who ate a cheesesteak before the show and slathered it. I mean, put a ton of ketchup on it. Is that a good move or bad move in your opinion?
I know it. I wouldn't do it myself. I mean, there's Cheese Whiz for a reason.
Okay.
Like, Cheese Whiz is the answer to a cheesesteak. Like, ketchup, put the ketchup on a hamburger. It doesn't go on a cheesesteak.
Aaron Rodgers came out this week and said Guinness on tap is the greatest beer in the world. Agree or disagree?
No, I disagree. Like, I respect Guinness. I've lived in London. I've had my share of pints. But I don't know. Like, Guinness is... The good thing about Guinness is you're probably not going to drink 20 of them. Like, you're just gonna be weighted down. But you can do 20. You can do 20 Coronas. Like, that's easy.
Guinness has fewer calories than it, though. Baldy, that's the wild thing. Guinness is like less calories than a Corona. It doesn't taste like it, but
it's heavy though. It's very heavy. Like, it sinks you. It sinks you right to the bottom of the ocean. It's like wearing a weight belt.
Baldy, real quick, would it help if I told you that it was a chicken cheesesteak?
But what's the point of a chicken cheesesteak? What is that? Like, it's got to be shaved ribeye.
It's That's not a really cheese a cheesesteak anymore if it's a
exactly,
chicken
Exactly, it's a chicken sandwich.
Breakdown on that. Right, that would go viral.
I had John's roast pork. I wouldn't quite call that a cheesesteak. It was delicious. By the way, Baldy.
No, it's a roast pork.
Right, and it was awesome.
It's shaved ribeye. Shaved ribeye with onions, mushrooms, and cheese whiz.
I can tell we could do food for the rest of the hour. Baldy, yes or no, was the food in London as bad as British food has a reputation for being?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they serve haggis in a pub. Like, that's sheep's intestines. Like, why would anybody eat that stuff?
Baldy, like, you're the man.
Shepherd's pie is their go-to food. It's just like, whatever's left over, we'll
chop it up and throw it in a pie.
Bread.
Baldy, you're the man. Thank you so much for doing this. Can't wait to talk again. See ya.
Yeah, you bet.
Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst.
Listen to the tone of his voice when I said, is British food as bad as it's made out to be? Oh, I mean, well, they eat sheep's innards.
Man, is he thorough. I'd put his football IQ up against Steelers.
I was getting fired up just doing like true ball knower questions there because he just dives right. You know what the in-between-the-lines thing on Wentz was? I mean, kind of a malcontent. Not an easy, like...
Well, Carson Wentz kind of went backwards in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Carson Wentz the person.
Jalen Wurts the antithesis of that.
Yeah, not the easiest guy to be a teammate of or to coach.
B-Mac next on the Steelers. He is in Dublin. He joins us. Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line where they say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Plus, a look at the other side with a Vikings insider. But first, a headline.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are less than 48 hours away from the Steelers' first regular season game in Ireland. They have waited decades for this. This was Dan Rooney's vision all along, to play a Steelers game in Ireland. So this is like their Super Bowl. And it really is, because they don't get to Super Bowls anymore. So they're going to try to beat the Vikings like they did 51 years ago in the Super Bowl in Dublin 2 days from now. B-Mac Bryant McFadden, a man with two Super Bowl rings, is in Ireland taking part in all the festivities there. Are you going to drink green beer? You going to drink Guinness? What's the plan, B-Mac?
Well, I don't drink at all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't swear either.
Taste what Guinness tastes like. They make the best. They make the best 0% alcohol, fully non-alcoholic beer there is. Guinness non-alcoholic is as good as non-alcoholic beer will ever taste.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That is a no joke thing. From a guy who likes to drink some non-alcoholic beer here and there, I can give it my stamp of approval.
Okay. That might be something I need to try before I leave. So thank you for that information.
Do you see yourself taking part in any Irish traditions, like Irish dancing, things of that nature?
No question. To your point, you know, this is the first time the Steelers participate in this ball game. Heck, the first time an NFL game is in Ireland. So, yeah, it's been a great experience thus far. But to your point, man, anything that's traditional based here, it's only right that you partake and enjoy yourself.
You know, this was, as Pony said, like Dan Rooney's dream. And I'm wondering how much you think that means to people in this organization, knowing your relationship, obviously playing here while Dan Rooney still had a very active role with the franchise, what it means to you that the team is playing this game, B-Mac?
I mean, Mr. Rooney was a special individual, and he was highly respected, not just with the Pittsburgh Steelers in the city of Pittsburgh, but throughout the entire ranks of the NFL. A credible man who did things the right way. When you talk about just the foundation he created there in Pittsburgh, going back to the 70s with the dynasties and currently still being a relevant organization. To your point, this is something that he worked on years ago. I remember when I was playing, he used to oftentimes fly over to Ireland. At that time, me personally, I didn't know exactly what was being created. But clearly, when you look at the time spent finding a way to get an NFL game there, he was very, very impactful in making that become a reality.
Now, you got to Ireland before the team did. You left Wednesday night. The team didn't leave until after practice on Thursday. Only one kind of walkthrough practice in Ireland for both teams. Then they're going to go out and play a game early Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon Ireland time. Your thoughts on that? Not getting there until late and not having a lot of time for your body clock to adjust, B-Mac?
I wouldn't like it if I was playing. You talked about Ireland. Ireland is 5 hours ahead of East Coast time in America, which is 5 hours ahead of Pittsburgh. To be acclimated and just more in a comfortable situation, you want to get to your destination as soon as possible. When you look at some of the other international games, correct me if I'm wrong, most of those teams either travel on Monday or Tuesday. That has been kind of their normal regimen with these international games, but for whatever reason, both teams can't leave until Thursday, and I feel like that's not enough time to get acclimated. But one thing we can say, both teams are doing the same thing. So it's not like one team was able to come over sooner than later. Both teams have the same schedule, but I don't think it's a – I wouldn't want to be a part of that. I would want to get over as soon as possible.
BMAC, globally, instead of just asking about the fact that this game's in Ireland, even though that's the main appeal, three games in, how do you actually feel about – I'll ask for your SOS. Bryant McFadden's state of the Steelers right now.
State of the Steelers right now, 2-1. Honestly, I thought we would be 3-0. Honestly, right? I thought we would be able to be a Sam Darnold-led Seattle Seahawks team at home for the home opener. That didn't happen. So in terms of my expectations, they weren't met. But being above 503 games is clearly better than being below 503 games. And now you're getting a backup quarterback abroad with the Minnesota Vikings and Carson Wentz. Even though he has an abundance of experience, he wasn't supposed to be the guy. So right now, I mean, you control your own destiny, man, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, if you take care of your business the way you're supposed to, playing against a backup quarterback, you should come out on top. But like I said, I thought in the three-game stretch, they would be undefeated at this point.
I'm going to play for you right now, BMAC, what Mike Tomlin said about his defense's struggles three games in when they get offenses in disadvantageous situations when it's third and long. That's supposed to be when the Steelers' defense rises to the occasion. Instead, they're the worst defense in the NFL in that situation. Here's what Mike Tomlin said about that from Sunday's game.
You know, they had a really good plan, as I mentioned earlier, in a myriad of ways. We're somewhat limited with some of our schematics due to obvious circumstances. I expect us to continually work and get better in some of those spaces.
So he credits the Patriots' plan. You've watched all three games. Why are they getting beat on these crossing routes, and why are they getting beat in the middle of the field so much, Brian?
When you look at the longer down situations, it just not proper spot spacing and zone concepts. You know, we talked last week about some communication issues. When you have communication issues, you're going to have open areas in zone concepts. When you look at the National Football League in totality, when there's a defense that's facing 3rd-and-17, 3rd-and-18, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a zone concept, right? You're forcing them to take the underneath and punt the football. But unfortunately, we've seen some spacing available for some of these quarterbacks to execute. I think that's the biggest issue in terms of the crossing routes. That's the same thing about communication. Now, if you go back to the Jets concept where they had a condensed formation, it was basically a two-man route. That is a man beater. They're anticipating man. That's what they were anticipating. They got it. But what you have to do is what we used to do. We used to call it an alert zombie call. Anytime we had a condensed formation with two tight wide receivers, we were anticipating crossing routes. So Dick LeBeau had something called alert zombie where we're communicating with the deep safety in both corners. Basically, that safety would take one of those short underneath routes, one of those crossers, and the backside corner would replace him, and they're just doubling the opposite crossing wide receiver. But those are things that, you know, we rep over and over again, but also, too, guys, the guys that I played in the secondary, we were together for a long, long time. So there were a lot of things that just organically happened with us, but we were prepared, and that's what we saw from the Jets, same route concept, and Seattle did the same thing as well 2 weeks ago. But I can say this, we saw better communication against the pass compared to the first two games, so that is progression.
How about the running game on the offensive side of the ball, BMAC? Not the side you played on in your days, but you know what good running attacks look like and what bad ones look like, and this one looks, unfortunately, quite bad right now. Why do you think that is?
There's no identity, I think, with the offense in terms of the running game. That's the biggest issue. And you can say whatever you want to say about Najee Harris in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. You knew he was RB1, and you knew he would give some type of production. The thing about Najee Harris's production, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't flashy. Najee Harris will have 80 yards. You're like, how did he have 80 yards? But he just leaned on people. He leaned on people. Right now, not having Najee, I don't think we've replaced not having Najee. Jalen Warren was supposed to be the guy, but it's almost like they're not really giving him the volume.
I kind of thought Najee stunk. You're giving me a whole new appreciation for the guy. I kind of thought he was a bottom-of-the-barrel, garden-variety running back. It's interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. When you look at his production, it's almost like, how? Every year Najee was a part of our offense, he had over 1,000 yards. And then most people are like, well, dang, how did that even happen? Because he was productive, but it wasn't flashy. And now you look at the guys we have, all three guys,
get Kenneth Gainwell, Caleb, and Jalen. They have more of a burst than Najee, but they're not giving the same production that Najee gave us. So I think we just got to be patient with the running game and just find a guy to rely on and lean on. Like right now, if you guys had to pick who was our RB1, I think you can get different answers.
Really? I think everybody likes Jalen Warren. You think so? You think
I like Jalen Warren also, but how many carries did Jalen have Sunday?
Not many, like, 11 or 12?
Well, Mike Tomlin said it was because the Patriots had the ball for so long. That's why the running game wasn't any good against New England. He had 18 carries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 18 carries. We need to see that consistently, though, because if you go back to Seattle and the Jets, it was almost like musical chairs in terms of the opportunities in the backfield. So if Jalen is our guy, there should be an unwritten rule where he's getting 18 to 22 touches running the football, in my opinion.
B-Mac, sorry, Malzi. How about Brian Flores? There's so much regret here about Brian Flores walking out the door. We watch what he's done with Minnesota's defense. They're outside the box. They blitz from everywhere. You never know what you're going to get from play to play. We had this guy. We let him walk. Now he's in Minnesota, and their defense has been better than the Steelers' defense over the last year plus. So what are your thoughts on that, Brian Flores, and what he brings to this matchup?
Yo, B-Flow is masterful when it comes to manipulating quarterback eyes. Some of the things that I've watched from the All-22 cut-up has been unbelievable in terms of the disguise concepts. He reminds me a lot of what we did in Pittsburgh. And you remember when you used to watch us and Troy used to be everywhere?
Yes.
In the formation? You didn't know what Troy was doing. We knew what he was doing. No one else
knew.
He
does that with Metellus or whatever the guy's name is. He uses that guy that way.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing about his defenses, everyone in the second and third level moves. They're moving. They're always moving around. And then it's hard for experienced quarterbacks to kind of pick up where they're coming from and what they're doing. That's why we were so good when I was there with Pittsburgh with LeBeau, because he never wanted us just to show our hand and show you what we were doing. We always wanted to show you one thing and do something differently and then provide a stunt with the front guys where you can get that pressure that's needed without always bringing an extra hat. And that's what B-Flow has done, and he will continue to do so. And when you think you may have an indicator on where they're coming from and who's tipping the hand, so many people are always moving, man, and that's a great – I don't know why all defenses don't do that, because you look at offenses – these quarterbacks are super smart. They got coordinators that sit up top, see everything from an above view. So they make checks. They make the necessary checks. But with Brian Flores, you don't know what to check to, because you don't know if they're playing man, if they're playing a match man, if they're playing cover four, cover two, if they're bringing all-out blitz, playing cover three, cover seven, cover one. Those are the things you got to go through your mind when you're playing against B-Flow, and that's why he's had so much success.
Would the Steelers' defense be better off if Mike Tomlin had said, you know what, Brian, you're the man. I want you to run the defense. I'm stepping back. I'm going to be the CEO of this team again. I want you to be my defensive coordinator. Do you think they'd be in a better spot on that side of the ball right now?
I mean, that's a deep hypothetical, because we don't know. We don't know if he would have the free range to do what he's doing
Now. Let's assume Mike said, truly, I am turning the keys over to you. I'm not getting in the way. I have because he spoke so highly of him.
Oh, he gushed.
He clearly respects the heck out of the intellect there. So let's assume Mike just said, Brian, I'm stepping back. I'm actually giving you the reins here. Do your thing. The defense is yours. I'll sit in the meetings, but it's your defense. Do you think they'd be in a better spot on that side?
I mean, potentially, yes, and maybe not. There's a different personnel in Minnesota, right? It's different players. It's different.
Are they better players, though? Like, that would be what I would ask. Is he doing more with less in Minnesota talent-wise, in your opinion?
Well, that defensive line is massive this year with Hargrave, Jonathan Allen. You look at Grenard, the young kid. I would say in terms of just the – because they run a – there's almost like a true 4-3 there. Well, granted, it's not 4-3 because you don't see base defenses like that. But they have four legit down linemen. You know, in Pittsburgh, we only have three legit down linemen with the ability to have TJ become an extra lineman. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it wouldn't work, but in terms of personnel, the way how he runs his defense there with our personnel that's fit more for a hybrid type situation, who knows?
B-Mac, let's get you back on the right side of the prediction game here. Last week, New England, well, you did pick a win. I guess they did cover, too. So what am I talking about? You are in good shape.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I don't like the negativity right now. I don't like this.
Well, I just flushed it down. You're right.
And my star player delivered a touchdown. Remember, I called out DK Metcalf.
You did. All right. So now let's see if you can make it 2-2. You pull out your four-leaf clover over in Ireland. And use that Irish luck here to make a prediction on this game and who you think the star of the game is going to be, because that went so well last week.
All right. I'm going with a Steelers victory once again. This is going to be a low-scoring ball game. I think this is going to be a very, very defensive-minded type ball game. So I have the Pittsburgh Steelers winning 16-12.
Okay. Wow.
And the star of the game, I got to go with the veteran. I'm going to go Cam Hayward.
Coming off a great game,
yeah.
All right,
yeah, They come in bunches.
Go get yourself some Irish breakfast, which includes baked beans on your plate.
Yummy.
I think I'm a pass.
Yeah, I would too. All right, B-Mac, have fun. See you, brother.
See you, B-Mac.
Thank you.
Brian McFadden calling for a 16-12 Steelers win at 5:30. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. You can tweet us your thoughts at 93.7 The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Charlie has a headline, and then after that, we will take a look at the other side with the Minnesota Vikings. Here it is.
I thought he did a successful job of it the first time around.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To be quite honest with you, his willingness to learn is a really attractive component of Coach Flores. We had some awesome discussions during our time together. He certainly has opinions, schematic opinions, strategic opinions, personnel opinions, but his openness to differing thoughts or viewpoints, I think, is a weapon for him as a coach. And so I think that's why you oftentimes see them do a wide variety of things schematically. I think it first starts with an attitude or an openness to new things or to learning and discovery.
Mike Tomlin lavishing praise on his former assistant coach. Only for 1 year, Brian Flores let him walk. Mike Tomlin kept control of the defense. Terrell Austin, figurehead defensive coordinator. Ben Roethlisberger coming out this week and saying, yeah, Brian Flores is going to coach circles around us on Sunday. Not exactly what he said, but a pretty good way of paraphrasing it. It is time for the other side. We don't do this for every game, but we do this for big ones, including the Steelers' de facto Super Bowl in Dublin. Let's win one for the Roonies. That's been the whole messaging all week to the team and the players. And Art gave an impassioned speech where he was talking about, what was he talking about again?
Oh, the hurling stick.
Hurling sticks.
Yes, there was a hurling stick that was discussed. And he sounded just like Aaron Rodgers, so that it fooled me briefly into thinking that it was, in fact,
the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Matthew Collar, who is known as the Purple Insider from up in Minneapolis, joins us right now. Matthew reminded me this week, Malzi, that when I left Buffalo for this job, he took my spot there.
And would you say that the Buffalonians experienced a net increase in productivity from that spot?
Probably.
A net positive for Buffalo?
Yes, based on where I was at in my life, I would say that's absolutely the case. Matthew, is it true that Steelers fans should feel bad and feel regret about Brian Flores? Because all week, all these Steelers coaches and players have talked about what a genius this guy is defensively and what a pain in the ass he's going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, he has been, I guess, I don't think I'm exaggerating to say a revelation in Minnesota, because in 2022, they had a very talented defense with Ed Donatell trying to run the Vic Fangio system, and it was a mess, and they lost to Daniel Jones in a playoff game, which was a real diss until like 3 weeks ago. but that system, it really has to be coached, I think, by Vic Fangio to be done correctly. So Kevin O'Connell went out and got the most aggressive defensive mind that he could find in Brian Flores. But what I didn't realize about Flores, so he's known so much for all the different looks, all the disguises, showing different coverages. Brian McFadden there on your show did a phenomenal job of breaking that down and how tricky that is for a quarterback when you line up and you think it's going to be cover two, and then all of a sudden it's Tampa two, and then all of a sudden it's cover four. You're like, okay, well, there's, you know, 70,000 people screaming in the stadium. All that's really difficult. Where I think that Brian Flores has been absolutely masterful is that you need players to be able to do this. Bryant mentioned Troy Polamalu. You can't just do this with anyone. You don't just say, hey, guy, can you just run out and like throw a bunch of different coverages and disguises and all those things? You need Josh Metellus, who you mentioned, Harrison Smith. He has been really excellent. And Metellus is a guy that was a special teamer before he got on the field. Really excellent at not only identifying the players who can handle this, but then working his defense to the skill sets. Andrew Van Ginkle is not going to play in this game because he's injured, but he was a great example of that, of a guy came in.
He killed Rodgers last year, Matthew. I mean, Rodgers still sees him in his nightmares. Yeah.
So they spent all of last year training Dallas Turner, who was their first round draft pick, to be that same type of guy. And even when they get backup players like Eric Wilson, they went out in free agency and got somebody who could handle a lot of different things. So I think that Flores, yes, it is the scheme stuff. And I'm sure some DCs around the league are like, yeah, if we had that personnel, we'd be able to do the same thing. If we just had Harrison Smith, who was a borderline Hall of Famer, we could just do all those checks and changes too. So I think that it's his scouting background going all the way back to Cleveland, which has also been kind of a superpower for him.
Matthew, are there any vulnerabilities in that Flores defense? How can it be had? I know that obviously at the very end of last year, they got a little bit by the Lions and Rams consecutively. I know Darnold was responsible for some of that too, but what, if any, vulnerabilities are there in this scheme?
Yeah, I think there's two things that come to mind that when they haven't been great, these are the things that have been problematic. Number one, and I know Jaylen Warren is on the injury report for today, and because Andrew was on my show, I'm well aware that Pittsburgh can't run the football, but just hear me out on that one, that if the Vikings defense struggles against the run, it's because those guys, Hargrave and Allen, a little bit long in the tooth. And so they've tried to develop some guys behind them, Levi Drake, Rodriguez, Jalen Redmond, younger players to put in against the run. But if you can control the ball and stay on the field for a long time, then you are going to have more success. You saw that from the Atlanta Falcons and Bijan Robinson. I know that's apples to oranges there. The other thing too is that if you can at least survive some of the blitzes and the pressures, veteran quarterbacks, Rodgers struggled a bit against it last year, but veteran quarterbacks with good weapons have been able to hang in, identify, especially in the middle of the field, some options there. And that's what Jared Goff really crushed them on, because I think Goff sees the middle of the field as well as anybody, gets rid of the football pretty quickly. So I'm curious to see if this Arthur Smith offense is going to try to take advantage of some of those things, though the Vikings went into this offseason with the goal of being able to rush four more often and not have to blitz. But it's, even though it's a really good defense, it's not invulnerable to that, where if you're sending extra guys, that's leaving somewhere open. And the one other thing I'd say is they have really good corners, but they're also asking Jeff Okuda to play kind of not a lot, but enough, where that was who Cincinnati attacked. And when they had some big plays in the passing game, Jeff Okuda was the guy that they went after.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, on the Vikings end of things for this game in Dublin Sunday morning. So what is insane to me about the way Steelers fans and I feel about this game is that you have the defense that has more resources put into it, Matthew, than any defense in the NFL with the Steelers at $158 million on players, and a head coach who is a defensive guy who is really their defensive coordinator making almost $20 million. And yet, I don't feel great about that defense going up against a backup quarterback and a backup running back. Aaron Jones, very good even though older, not playing in this game, out. Jordan Mason in, Christian McCaffrey's old understudy, and Carson Wentz off his couch to play, looked very good against the Bengals' crappy defense, but still, I just do not feel great about the Steelers' defense limiting the Vikings to, say, 17 points or under 20 points in this game. When the Steelers score at least 20 points, they always win, Matthew, and I just don't think that they'll keep the Vikings' offense at bay in this game. Give me a thought on that.
Well, I would not call Jordan Mason a backup running back for them. From about 3 days into training camp, I think we all knew, okay, Jordan Mason is probably taking this job. I mean, this is a guy who averages over 5 yards a carry for his career. And yeah, you could say, well, San Francisco could make the three of us into good running backs. But Mason, I think, is exceptional in the outside zone scheme. He is extremely hard to take down once he gets moving. I mean, he's kind of built like, you guys remember Sean Alexander? He was in the news recently for having 14 kids, but it kind of reminds me of that sort of body type with that speed, quickness, and vision, and how he never gets less than 3 yards. So he, to me, is already kind of taking that job, and Aaron Jones, when he comes back, will have to work in to a spot rather than being RB1. But the thing about Carson Wentz and what he did so well last week was, all the time you hear quarterbacks and coaches say, just play point guard, just get the ball into your playmaker's hands. Well, for J.J. McCarthy, that was pretty tough to do because he kept getting sacked. But with Carson Wentz, he did exactly that last week. The ball, when he had a clean pocket, the ball came out of his hands in 1.9 seconds.
Wow.
That, I think, is the perfect way to neutralize a defensive line that is still very scary for Pittsburgh. And it seemed to me from watching the first couple Steelers games that the secondary hasn't gelled yet, hasn't figured each other out
yet.
I guess, is this where you say they should have hired Brian Flores to teach them how to play together?
Yes.
But whatever it might be, there's a lot of coverage busts. And when Jordan Addison is now coming back for the Vikings, if you have that happen, even Carson Wentz has got the arm, the experience to find that and take advantage. So I think the expectation is that the Vikings will be able to move the ball with Carson Wentz.
Matthew, I feel bad or a little guilty asking a very thematically similar question to my first one of you, but where is Carson Wentz vulnerable? Because I feel like if you could draw up a quarterback in a lab, you would basically make his physical attributes, but perhaps take away his space cadet tendencies. So where can the Steelers defense attack this guy who has all the talent in the world but is on his 8 millionth team in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I don't know your guys' exact ages, but at some point we all have that get up off the couch and we go, oh.
Yeah, I'm 40, Matthew, so it happens. Don't worry, I'm 40.
Well, okay, then you and I are the same age and we've got that going on. And guess who else does? Carson Wentz. When he moved around back, say, in 2017, it was incredible to see a guy of that size also have quickness and speed. He does not have quickness and speed anymore. And yet his brain, and this happens to us too, right? You know, I go out, play a little pickup basketball. I think I could still cross people over. I'm old. I can't. And there was some of that last week where Carson Wentz on a couple plays was like, I can be a playmaker. And like, Carson, no, just throw it out of bounds. And he took some pretty bad sacks that, look, if you take them in a 48-10 blowout where your defense scores two touchdowns and Jordan Mason averages 7.5 yards a carry,
right,
it's perfectly fine. If you've got a tight game and you're taking sacks and making some mistakes like that, thinking that you're still a playmaker, then I think that that's really what Pittsburgh's going to be looking for, is get pressure on him, get him a couple of sacks, force him to make some mistakes, because otherwise I think he is well-trained enough in just being a veteran quarterback to execute when guys are there. It's, and when the first look might be not there, that's when he goes into, you know, North Dakota State mode and thinking he could still make a play. And also, like, he's Carson Wentz. So you go back and look through his game log and you see one game where he's amazing and the next game he's not. And sometimes it just works that way with guys who are backup quarterbacks.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, up in Minneapolis on the Vikings and the problems they present for the Steelers and the defensive genius they have in Brian Flores. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it, brother.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Anytime. I guess anytime for us is like, what, every 4 years they play? So the next time we talk to him, he'll be in his mid-40s. And then the time after that, he'll be in his late 40s.
We'll talk to him two times from now. Hello, guys. It's great to see you again.
Like, I honestly think you and me are just going to be sitting here doing this show 30 years from now, and Charlie's still going to be there producing on Fridays, talking about putting ketchup on crap. And
I mean, I hope not for Charlie's sake. It would be cool if you and I got to do this for 30 more years, but... Are we going to be still making the same jokes? Like, are you going to be talking about somebody diving into the Brazos River when you're 70 years old?
Are we still going to be talking about that guy called Weird Jim at your bar?
Oh, my God.
Crazy Jim.
Crazy Jim, and that's why you won't drink NA beer?
Yeah, because every time I think of non-alcoholic beer, my brain just associates.
And what was he doing at the bar?
He was just
watching porn, Charlie. You can just say it. Just he was drinking O'Doul's and watching porn, apparently for the cinematic quality.
Wasn't doing nothing nefarious. He was doing something nefarious, but...
I mean, watching porn in public is pretty nefarious, but it sounds like yes. He was doing it for like the camera
he
angles and the lighting.
He wasn't doing anything nefarious. He was watching barely legal porn with the volume on. Maybe he was an editor. Place.
You never know.
Maybe he was an editor.
I actually know one of those.
So do we.
Football Talk on the Fan presented by...
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.